Welcome back. We are for our second hour of organizing and sharing with OneNote. Again, Dave and Doug, we're just going to be showing you more ways that IT pros can get organized with their life and use this great tool, which a lot of people love, but a lot of people have never opened it before. So that's why we want you to get excited about OneNote. Also, hopefully we'll have some time to demo some things. So if I haven't figured out yet what we're demoing, because I'm just back on the queue, I think we might have lost chat for a while. So hopefully we'll have some messages about what we should demo, or we'll make stuff up to demo.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So the two main things we're going to show in this hour are probably two things we should have shown earlier, but you got to have some of that initial fundamental work done first. But now we're going to talk about one of the key things in OneNote, which is search.
That you can find all this stuff. Thanks. That's what makes this great, is that you can search to your heart's content and you'll be able to find stuff in documents, in those printouts we made, and we'll show you that. Again, we kind of buried the lead for that. So search, there's a search box in the upper right-hand corner. That's where the arrow's going. And also the shortcut for that is?
Control E.
I had to get Dave there to do that.
Yeah.
So a couple things. The nice philosophy of why search is so good is it lends to a philosophy of how you want to organize your OneNote. Here's true pictures of my two daughters' rooms. And one is a very neat person, and one is like I used to be as a kid. So so you can, in OneNote, be neat. There's snap-to-grid features. You can use your color coding. You can use your tags.
Nest
you can use
everything.
Your text box. You can nest everything.
Yeah.
It can look like Word if you want to.
Yeah.
Why would you want to do it? Or you can just throw things in there and able to find it. And that's what you can do with search. So if I wanted to find something, now one of the things we talked to, one of the IT pros that we talked to, an actual real one, not just one that played once on TV,
right,
but a real IT pro, is that they use OneNote for servers, for IP addresses, and they have details of that. So if I'm in search here, and I just type in a word, and we know, so the we've been talking about Huey, the Huey server, so I just looked that up, and as I type in Huey, I can find things that are on the page or at the top is in the title. Client name Huey, so I'll just hit enter, and there I go, and there's my IP address.
Right.
So, and it can search for any words that you want to find in documents. So there was this one term, let's say I'm trying to find something that's user-friendly, which is a word we use a lot in our world. And then you can also, again, just with search, you can also use the quotation marks, and you can bang in things here and go to certain pages where that happens. Now, this just grabbed that screenshot we made in the last hour. So again, as soon as you clip things from your pages, from your web pages, full web pages or the printouts or anything like that, you'll be able to find
that information. So that's an
image.
It's highlighting the text in the
image. Right.
Wow.
So here's the image that I got. So again, anything is, that kind of stuff is searchable in OneNote. That's what makes it this great, powerful tool. And you can also limit your search. I'm just going to pull down the menu as you expected. You can just look for things in a section. You can just look for things in one notebook. I usually just open everything and look for everything in my notebook. So, you know, if I type in something like 401k, I might find the program, but it's a 401k program, and my actual 401k information, so I'm not going to do that on the air. And then, of course, if you want to search just something on the page, it's the same shortcut as it always is, and I'll go to Dave for that.
Control-E.
Find on page.
Oh, Control-F.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you can find something on the page on that. I fooled Dave. He's going to kill me on that one. So
I
again, if I type in IT Pro, it finds IT Pro on this page, and even, you know, the word pro and professional. And the word it. So again, it's just searching as it would for a lot of these things. And I think you can just search through this. But it will make things yellow on the page. And then if I want to find this on all notebooks, quite a lot of incidences where I work with IT pros. So I can go to this page right away. This is our shortcuts worthy of IT pros. We have that in the resource section of the notebook that you can download. If you're on the live call or watch this, we have this notebook here that we're working on, we have for download. Instead of a PowerPoint, we have a OneNote because you can do everything in OneNote.
So Doug, when you talk about this search and there's this two types of people, the neat people and the messy people, mm-hmm. They're both equal.
They're both equal.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They're just two different ways to work, and it's probably analogous to the way you use Outlook. You know, some people use your mail folders and they neatly nest everything, and then other people just search. They have everything in one big archive folder, and they just search.
Yep.
across.
Kind of like Outlook does the same thing.
Yeah.
So here's one. Here's one I wanted to show you. I downloaded that monster poster. Was it Edgepool? Yeah.
Okay.
So Edgepool is a term that I'm looking for. I can search in a poster. So I click, and again, this thing is a huge 3-foot poster. And I can view it, and it actually has yellowed out things that are edge pool in this giant poster. Even though I can't read this, I don't think at 200% I can barely read it either. Let's go to 300%. Let me get my hand away from my mouth. And let me scroll down here. So this is a little bigger than we probably should have it. Oops, come on. Oh, it's not going to like me on doing that. Okay, sorry, I just have to change this a little bit because we're working with much bigger monitors than we're used to here. And then you can see up here that the word edge is done up here.
That's
and
cool.
It says, am I still searching here? Home?
Control E, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. And even, oh, it's not picking up this. Of course, in the demo earlier, it was picking up the term down here in the printout, but I'm just having some rendering problems on here. So, but at the same time, you can search printouts here. So here's the photo that we did earlier of that piece of paper that we didn't have, and it will find stuff in here. So if I let me go to another page, and I'll click over here really quick, and I'll type in, I lost my train of thought. Oh. I forgot what was on this word. So 50% physical.
All right.
That's why I should have written that in my notes earlier. So 50%. Where's the percent key?
There you go.
And so I'm going to see how quickly I type. So yeah, even if I do PHY, it brings me all of those, and right at the top is there. And on this picture, the coding is not working. The yellow highlight's not working as well. It has a little trouble with pictures, but it will send me to that information. So posters, screenshots, things you print out. The PowerPoints that you print out, it will find words in that that we printed out earlier, so you can do that. Again, posters we've showed, and let's see if there's the printout here, newest member. Let me try this one real quick. So even I type the word new, you can see it's yellowed out there in the printout. So again, that's another reason why you bring your printouts into PowerPoint, because I can have been in any notebook and find that page. And one other thing I wanted to show is, not on this page, said. Oh, I'm on the wrong page. That's why, is audio. So one thing we didn't talk about when we talked about inserting stuff is you can insert audio and video here at the top. Now video, I mean, it used to be you would just record your camera on your laptop and record your chin, which would be boring. But now with Surface Pro and other monitors that have dual cameras, I guess you could. Video, though, you wouldn't want to do a lot. It's going to be a huge file. But audio is really great for working with files if you're interviewing someone.
Right.
If you're talking, in fact, let's just go ahead and hit it. Now, as I hit it, it's now recording. So let me.
Right now?
Right now.
It's recording
right
and
now.
My voice?
Let's find out.
Okay.
Okay, so we're gonna play this back, guys. Let's see if we hear this. Let us know if you can hear that.
Right. If you're talking, in fact, let's just go ahead and hit it. Now, as I hit
so you can hear it there.
It's now recording.
I can't hear it, so I don't know where to stop.
Now, right now.
But the other thing that you can do, and here's where the demo, and that stops there. So again, you can record right away when you're doing that. The other thing it can do, it can actually search for your audio. You have to turn...
So the audio we just recorded.
The audio we just recorded can be indexed. Now, the indexing happens when... you're on OneNote, but you're not using OneNote, so
okay.
It wouldn't record. It wouldn't find that index right away.
Okay.
I think it takes an hour. You know, it would take some. Well, I have the instructions here. There in the options, I'm not going to show you the options, but you have to enable audio search. Now, I did that on this computer earlier today. It was working fine on my computer, but not here. I'm going to take a stab and see if it's working now. Let's find out. This is why you do live stuff. Yeah, and I'm not going to see it here. Okay, but let me just show you where the audio search would be. So you search down here, and it would pop up, and you can. This is a defined search result, and it would It found four, at the bottom right here, you see it found four recordings, but those are probably early recordings I made, but it's not, yeah, it's not appearing here. So if we edited stuff, I would edit this so it would work perfectly. So it will index your audio. Again, more of the more audio, the more longer it will take. It says indexing an hour of audio can take up to 2 or 3 hours. So that's okay. Not having OneNote open on your computer and being idle. So even my little clippet of 10 seconds I recorded yesterday to show you how the search would work, trust me, it will work.
Yeah.
We'll come back tomorrow. Can we guys just come back tomorrow, guys, do this again, and it'll be working? Okay, we'll come back tomorrow and do it on that. So again, audio is another thing that indexes and is searchable in OneNote. Word can't do that.
No.
Word.
It's a real savior for when you're in a lecture and you're listening to someone and you just want to record their audio, but and you don't want to ask them to repeat themselves, or you're interviewing someone.
Right.
Yeah.
It works well on that. And the last little thing, if you saw the commercial that they ran when OneNote web app came out, and it also can work as the grocery list that you can, and I did this, you know, I've tested this with folks when I'm actually at the grocery store, that I can pull up the grocery store list on my Windows phone. I can pull it up here. And again, the commercial is the kids are adding stuff while the dad's at the grocery store. And it's a dad, so he's gullible. Give me a break.
Always.
And he'll know that not to pick it up. So, you know, this way you can add that you want the organic milk, you want the celery, and you want the Cisco K9 router too. So you can put that all on a grocery list. So that's, again, many different ways, both home and professional, all mixed in together. Then searching is really the one of the cool things about what makes OneNote so much better than anything else with that.
I think it's like it's kind of one of those things too, where let's say you are that neat person, you have all these tabs and all these pages, but the last page you were on isn't what you need when you go into that team meeting, or isn't what you need when you switch offices or switch meetings, go to another meeting. So often you find yourself navigating by way of that search box more than you do in the left and up at the top for the tabs and stuff. It's sort of the fastest way to get
there. See, even a neat person needs the messy materials
every
to get
once
around.
In a while, even we need a little
it's
grace.
It's confession
grace.
Time here at the MVA. Okay, so now we're going to stick with S's and talk about sharing OneNote, which we've been showing that also a little bit out today. But again, another cool thing about OneNote that just not the web apps, but the clients also share.
Right. Yeah, so let's talk about sharing. Sharing in OneNote is not like that old paradigm where you're in Word and you are sharing out an attachment for someone, right? And you zip someone an attachment in email. Do not think of sharing in that respect with OneNote, okay? This notebook is shared on SharePoint, and I don't have to go, it's over here on this document library, okay? It's called SharePoint Notebook. Okay, I don't have to share it using the SharePoint browser UI. I can just be in OneNote and go to File, Share, okay? And I've already shared it with Nicole. She's the PM on the chat line. Thank goodness for her. And then I'm going to, you know, type in somebody else here. I'll type in Colin Wilcox. He's a coworker of mine. I can just share it with him, okay? And that's pretty self-explanatory. They'll get an email message if I choose to type something in here, and I can give them read-write permissions, right? Or I can give them read-only permissions. You guys know how SharePoint works. It's pretty self-explanatory. And you don't have to go out here and do that, you know, the share, the permissions UI if you don't want to. It just automatically populates in there for you, okay? So that's sharing with a notebook that's on SharePoint, or what might also be known to you as SkyDrive Pro, which is your personal site on an enterprise environment for SharePoint. But a notebook on SkyDrive is a little different. So that share UI I just showed you, it lights up a little differently. So we'll go to File, and we'll choose Share. And we can do the same. What it's doing is it's talking to that server, finding out what kind of server it is. And this time it's the consumer SkyDrive.com service. So it's giving us a little different UI. It can do per user permissions here, okay, like we just did. And we could require that sign in. So I could type in Doug Thomas's name here and choose him, choose his level of permissions here. And then
can I edit?
Yeah, always.
Thank you.
Yeah, always. You got to be collaborative when you're using OneNote. You could require a Microsoft ID login if you needed to. But this is the additional UI you get with SkyDrive. So, you know, just like other cloud services that I won't mention by name, but there are some ones out there. And just like those, you know, in SkyDrive, you also have these links that you can generate, you know, a read-only link, okay, where it's not tracking who it is that's accessing it, but if you just wanted to give a read-only link out and not lock down permissions for specific users, you could. And you could give that edit link as well. So you click create link, and then you pop this guy into IM or email or whatever, okay? So that's just the general idea there. In the SkyDrive UI, you know, of course, you can do that. You can access that same UI, but you might as well just do it, you know, as you're rip-roaring through OneNote, taking notes and getting things done, okay? So the other thing I want to talk about is something that can be sort of a godsend when you're sharing stuff. So let's say that newfangled tablet comes out, or that, you know, that new device comes out, and there isn't a client app for that particular device. You know, we have apps for the Windows Phone, the Android, the iOS, but let's say there's something new that comes out, or someone's in a particular environment, they don't have the OneNote program, okay? You want to use that SkyDrive web app, right? And that SkyDrive web app is just a browser rendering of the notebook, okay? And give them the link to that on the web app, and that person, no matter which platform they're on, as long as they have a, you know, reasonably modern browser, they'll be able to see the content in your OneNote notebook. So that's a plug for that Office for the OneNote web app. Let's talk about sending out notes too. So, for example, if we were, let's open up our data center management sample workbook here that we made for this webinar or this course. We'll open that guy up. Okay, we're in meetings. And if you did just need to do a quick one-off send of the OneNote attachment or the OneNote notes, you go to File, Share, and then, File, Send, okay, and then Email Page, and that will bring up Outlook and just plop those notes into the body of the message. I'm not a huge fan of this because it sort of breaks that normalized link of content with your cloud service, but
again, if most of your team doesn't have OneNote or they didn't watch this webinar and they're not excited to do it, it's a quick way that you can stay in OneNote and get those meeting minutes out to people in email. Is it, can you email me those notes?
Yeah, that's true. I can send it. Yeah, and the other thing is, like, let's say you're taking a course, you've taken these notes, and a friend of yours missed the lecture. You may not want to give them your whole notebook. Mm-hmm. You just need to give them, you know, select pieces of content from your notes. So okay. This would be that way to do that. The other way is to, let's see, you know, of course, we can export in a variety of formats. You could export in a OneNote format. You could export as PDF, okay? You could do it for the whole notebook, the section, or the page. One thing I didn't mention earlier, which I probably should have, I maybe omitted, is that the notebook itself in Windows Explorer, I'll just go there real quick, Documents, OneNote Notebooks. A notebook is represented by a folder in Windows Explorer, okay? And then, and I'll go back here. We'll open up the data center management one. Or no, we'll open up. Yeah, these are these local notebooks I had earlier for each of the products and at MVA. And inside each notebook folder are those sections. And these are represented by a .one file, okay? A .one file. So let me see. I'll view file name extensions and you can see that. Okay. So just to give you an idea there. So if you did need to export, you could export as a section, and that would be a .one file.
Okay. And we'll show you one way you want to do that real quick in just a little bit. I know chat was out for a while. I'm trying to catch up a little bit with it. But one person did have a question. I was trying to roll back and get the person's name. Was talking about permissions when you're sharing something. You can share. They were wondering about, okay, I'm on a work site, and I want to send something to someone who doesn't have a work site, I can set permissions for people, even though it's a document from work, I can send it to people who are not in my environment.
Right, yeah, this would be the way, you're saying this export would be the way to
well,
do
no,
that?
Well, no, no, I'm saying if on the sharing, you can put down, you can if I'm on a SharePoint site, I can still share my document with people who are not part of the SharePoint.
That would be interesting. It probably would depend on if your company set up your SharePoint so that it isn't an extranet fashion.
That's
like that.
True. There might be a lot of them. But again, we're able to do those things because I worked on the education wing. The education set up that on the same site you could share something with folks that are just in the school or you could send it out to the parents. So again, having the email is important. But only that link is available in SkyDrive, not SkyDrive Pro. But you can set permissions and send people to them that are not in work for those documents, so it can go either way. That's on sharing. We're going to head over to notes and meetings. Okay. Our section here is about notes in meetings, which is how I started really liking OneNote a lot, was I just kept I opened up a section for the meeting that I was in. On the right-hand side, there was just meeting after meeting after meeting. So I was able to keep those notes and, again, share them if I needed to or just have them for my own personal use. But we want to show a couple different ways of sharing notes. One thing to do real quick is email page. Here we are. So I don't have... See, that's the funny thing here. I didn't check the machine here. For some reason, I don't have my Outlook up. There's an Outlook button here. Imagine that if you have Outlook integration, you can set meeting notes.
I could show that if you want me to.
Do you have it on yours?
Yeah, I have Notepad.
Okay, let's switch over to Dave's computer really quick.
Okay.
I want to be in Outlook. I want to be in the OneNote.
Okay.
And show the meeting notes.
Okay.
So go to the Home tab. Yeah, you have it. Go ahead.
Okay.
So you can grab here. Why don't you go? You can grab a meeting today, or you can go back to the bottom. Go to the bottom there and click that. And
choose a meeting from another day.
Okay. You can do so. So let's go back to yesterday.
Okay.
And grab one of our meetings that you and I were at.
Okay. Here's our final prep meeting. That was 2.5 hours long. It was grueling.
Yes. And click that.
Okay.
And it should add that detail. It'll probably add it at the bottom of the page because you're on a server page. Usually we start with a new page. If you scroll down. There it is. It just appeared. So this is information that would appear that if you want to start a meeting right away, it would grab the information from Outlook. And just think if you had 25 people in the meeting, this is only two, you'd be able to grab all those persons' names and the links there are on there.
So then you're not copy-pasting from Outlook.
From Outlook. It's a quick way to start a meeting here. So you can switch back to my computer now. I kind of pre-baked this one to have it, but I wanted to show the live meeting. I just had not set up my Outlook yet on this computer, so that's why the button does not appear. It usually appears right there at the top where I just touched. So again, you can do this in Outlook right away. The integration with Outlook and OneNote is terrific. You can also do it in Link. In fact, I think the link I do have up. So let me see if I can do this right here. And let me just pull in Dave here really quick. So this is Link 2013. And this would be the same if this was a pre-done meeting. We have a Link meeting. You have these tabs at the bottom. So this tab here, which is the little icon for the screen, there is a OneNote section right up here. So you just mouse over. If you're still on Link 2010, the icons are new. You just mouse over that and then go up to OneNote, and immediately you can start doing notes. And again, the two options. You can take notes just for yourself, or you can take notes for everyone. And then you get this presentation of where you want to put it as usual, and you can plop it right into whatever screen you want to do. And I'll do this notes and meetings and click OK.
So that dialog box right there is a good moment for the messy people, because when you're doing any kind of integration like that and you need to put something somewhere, you got to have good organization with your folders and your tabs.
Yep.
So keep that in mind.
So for the organizing people, that would work. Thanks. Appreciate it. Also, other things. One thing we also talked about, I don't have it really preset, so I can't really demo it, but if you were working on... a lot of people do Link meetings, IT pros, and they say they use the whiteboard all the time. So here's a whiteboard. Now, there's no button to automatically place stuff in here. But a lot of people say they take their meetings with whiteboards. You could, again, once it's done here, there's no quick button to send to OneNote. I don't know if the send to OneNote would work down here. It probably sends the whole thing. I'm going to experiment. What the heck? Okay, maybe not. But what they'll do is they'll do the snapshot. So Windows S, and you can just snap that meeting and snap it right into your meeting. You can go to the particular meeting you're at and just send it right there. So that's a good way to capture the whiteboard if you're using Whiteboard for Link.
Yeah, I was talking to an IT pro about that. He said, you know, in their department, you know, there's two people in Seattle, but there's someone in Detroit, there's someone in Boston, someone in Houston, and they're all on Link, mm-hmm. and they often do that. They get that whiteboard up, they kind of briefly sketch out what they think the... Often, I think he used it for workflows, like, okay, you should contact support tier one first to do this,
yep.
support tier two to do this, and have that just rough flow chart mm-hmm. Roughed out, and then they, like you, like just like
just
you did.
Just cut and paste it in, yeah. and it's captured in there. So that you don't have to open up Link again to find it. Other things that you can do for meetings that we have, one of the things that happens a lot is you can certainly add, oops, here I am, you can add documents to this. So if there's important documents, again, you can do the printout option here at the top, or you can just attach the file, and that way everyone will be able to get to that. I'll just attach the file here, and it's just sitting right there when everyone needs to open it. Now, the other thing we find out a lot in meetings is the whiteboard, physical whiteboard in the meeting, which I'm in one room in Microsoft that doesn't have a whiteboard. I think it's probably a good thing. They take photos like this of the whiteboard with their camera. And I see this all the time. This has happened for you ever since the phone's, oh, I'm going to take a picture here. Click. Now, I could send that to you in Outlook, and you're going to lose it. But, again, you can send it on your phone, your smartphone, Android, iPhone, iPad, Windows right. Phone, Windows Phone, Windows Phone. And you can put it into OneNote here, and it'll capture it. Now, it won't read. You know, earlier we saw the pictures, and we saw the text type that we could read. We couldn't do that. Here, in fact, I can show you what that would look like. If you right-click on a picture, and you want to see what the text is going to look like, it's in the alt text. You can just crack that open, and you can see it just kind of picks up some gibberish. So I wouldn't be able to print the text from this picture, but I have it captured. I can throw it in my meeting. So it's, again, content stored where you need it, and you can get it right away. And then I would title this something like meeting notes, blah, 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 or have it right in the meeting. Okay, there's something we wanted to add with Quick Notes, and the way we've kind of shoehorned it into it is the drive-by meeting. Okay.
Right. So someone comes by your office and you realize, hey, I need five things from you.
Okay, so Quick Notes you can find easily anytime, and they're better than sticky notes. So if you just need a note right away, if you click on the Send to OneNote page, it's Windows N plus hitting N again, and you get this Quick Note here. So if you had a quick thing you wanted to do about that, and oops, I closed it. And then I had another note that I needed to make, and call mom. And then my boss comes by, and I close that. My boss comes by and says something, and it's like, oh, I better make a note of that so I don't forget. So I'm going to do another quick note, and I'm going to be, he wants me to rebuild the server tonight. I might be a little late for dinner. But I realize I'm going to need more information. Now, this quick note looks like a sticky note, but it has all the power of OneNote right there. I just click this normal view, and voila, I'm inside OneNote with all my pull-downs. Everything works right there.
That's cool.
Now, quick notes, if you notice on the left-hand bottom of the page here, all your quick notes are stored right there. So these notes I just wrote, call mom, get milk, they're all stored in OneNote. Even though it looked like a sticky note and I deleted it, you keep your OneNotes here. And then if I wanted, you know, once I figure out how to rebuild a server, when I'm done with that, I could just march this over and put it into any area that I wanted to. Like, I'll put it in the data management center, server details, I'll put it in the server details folder. And it just, you can move the quick notes that way. So quick note, much better than sticky notes, Windows NN in OneNote 2013. They were called, in earlier versions of OneNote, they were called side notes.
Yeah, side notes. Yeah.
So side note, quick note, same thing if you have an older version of it. And all this stuff can work on, we're not going to show the web apps, but some of the stuff will work here for meetings for OneNote. And the last thing I wanted to show, though, is it's not really a, I did want to show one other thing. Templates. So let's go to Home, Insert. And there's templates in OneNote. And this was something most people don't know about. And again, probably for IT pros, they're not going to be ones they use. I mean, this was set up for school. That's what OneNote was, so you have lecture notes. They do have business ones in here, like simple meeting notes, which again, an IT pro probably wouldn't want to have a giant clock on their OneNote. So you probably wouldn't want to use that. There are decorative fonts. Contractually, I am obligated to show that if you want, you can do a rainbow border. You have a rainbow. It's contractual. That's why I had to show it. Sorry, guys. But again, down here at the bottom here, you can create new templates. You can go to office.com. There's about 100 more templates there. If you see it from an earlier version, it's kind of version agnostic. So something from OneNote 2003 will work fine in 2013. But the thing that you may want to use in Notes and Means is that if you have a meeting template that you want to use, like this page here, you can open up a template and then save the current page as a template. So you could save this page and then send it out, and everyone uses the same notes in OneNote for this. And like I said, these kind of notes are cool because this is automatically, as you put stuff in, it automatically just steps down and does that. Same with the action items. That's why there's all these gaps. So you could you can just hit return and just...
Okay, so you have those tags built
in. Yeah, that's why those tags are built in. So again, if you have a certain... You can make your own template if you have something you want to get out to everyone. The last thing I wanted to kind of show is kind of an export feature, but this is how we exported this OneNote that you can download. Now, we're not working on the same one that you download. You're downloading an earlier version. But one thing I wanted to talk about were event templates, because this is what we've done for some things. This is a brand new one that was brought out with that you can get right now, that's the travel bucket list. For events, this is an event I went to a couple years ago for a summit, and they did it all in OneNote. So instead of sending out, I don't know why you would send out someone a PowerPoint with information about it, or maybe in Word or something.
Yeah, PowerPoints, I don't know what the PowerPoint team might say about this, but PowerPoints, purpose is to give presentations.
Exactly.
A big screen presentation.
But some people, I've gone to meetings and everything's in PowerPoint.
Yeah.
If you put it in OneNote, again, you can send it out, and if they don't have OneNote, you can simply put it in as a web app. So this is what they had: the welcome message here. It had some what to bring stuff. It had information about the hotel. They also put little notes about OneNote here. The entire schedule was here in OneNote that you could augment yourself once you have it in case you wanted to highlight the things that you wanted to see. Every single person that spoke here had a bio page. They even plugged in things to do and to eat and see if you were new to New Orleans. So this kind of mega template, again, you build a notebook and then export it. I could definitely see if you want conferences and stuff like that to do something that people would be able to use and show off OneNote and then have a much better functional. And again, this is something I've kept here for a couple of years that's just kind of stored there that I can always find, though, if I want to with that. So that's kind of, let me click back here into where we are. So that's kind of the events for meetings. And we're going to our last segment here, and then we can hopefully do some demos, though I have to catch up with the email to see what we're supposed to demo. But we're going to talk about drawing and touch.
Okay, yeah. So, back to OneNote 2003, OneNote has always had great inking abilities, okay? Back in the day, those original features... we're still in the program, but some of them are still there. You got your highlight and your draw features in here, okay? And yeah, in 2003, you had simple two-point touch, I believe. Is that right,
yeah,
Doug?
Yeah, two-point touch.
Okay, right. And so you had that old tablet PC, and you took out that stylus, and you could freely take notes, and you could convert those notes from inked digital notes to, typable text. But now that we've had a lot of advancements in touch, we should show the Surface Pro.
So let's show touch and then we'll show the Surface here. So I'm in, this is a huge touchscreen monitor. And one of the things, and we haven't talked about the quick access toolbar, which is where you can plug any command in. I know IT pros know that, but any command that you use a lot, you can put up here in the quick access toolbar. But one of the ones that I put up that's up here automatically is this touch. So let me open up the menus here so you can see the tabs and the commands. And you go into touch mode, and you get a skosh more room up here in the ribbon, which works well on like my Dell XPS here, or on Surface, I can use that. So that's a feature that's built in for anything that has touch now with OneNote 23. In fact, with Office, anything in the new Office suite will have this touch ability to work on that. And then you can use this draw tab on notes with even... ink and with a mouse and a In fact, let me show you here. With a mouse and a keyboard, you can't, all this whole tab stuff you can work with here. Let me make a better one here. There's even some math stuff. We haven't even talked about math. There's a whole math functionality here with OneNote. Maybe we'll demo that, including simple addition and simple mathematics you can do right in OneNote. But all this context you can use with touch, including ink to text. So let me get back here to this. So this is a page that I drew on a pen and ink. And this is the text to ink button, which again, if you're on Windows 8, the kind of the magic of OneNote being able to convert chicken scratch into text.
Right.
If you're on Windows 8 now, you get the pop-up menus, you get the, and it does it automatically. It does it for you here, but I'll just show it to you. If you ever come across a page that has text, you click ink to text, and there it just kind of converts it there. It kind of did a little funky. Of course, when I demoed it yesterday, it didn't gather them, but it can take your text and write it in there. So that's part of what you can do with it. You can also take a PowerPoint slide and, again, augment it with that. But let's instead of that, I'm going to show that off with the Surface. And then we can talk about the draw tab more, about lassoing and all that if we need to after this. But let's bring in the Surface. We're bringing a handheld camera here. And let's see here. That's looking pretty good. Okay, so this is a Surface Pro. I have my pen. Let me get my pen in my hand. Let's see, can I balance the Surface Pro, not drop it, and use a pen? I don't think so. But what I want to show off is the new Windows Store or Windows 8 app that came out. So I can use OneNote, of course, and use the client version, but I'm going to open up the new app here.
And when you say client version, you mean the desktop, traditional desktop app.
Yeah, we've but been I'm talking about ID Pro. I'm going to say client.
Oh, I'm not talking about the name. I'm saying the desktop app is what we've been demoing so far.
Yes, we've been doing most of the desktop app. But this is the new Windows Store app. And too many thumbs. Okay, so the UI is here to the left-hand side. So, like Dave would like it, notebooks, tabs, and pages all there.
Yep.
So again,
neatly
it's
organized.
That left to right, neatly organized, and I can easily touch to get out of my way. So there's also some menus here on the bottom, as with most of the Windows 8 apps or Windows Store apps. But also, there's new things here with this, and this is a new part of the new UI. If you haven't seen it, it's pretty spectacular. Now, you can do this. You can use the Windows Store app on a non-touch device, any Windows 8 device. It's a free download. But it really works when you're on touch here, and that's about the only time I use it. So when I touch something here, so I'm in this area. I want to hide this. I get this little radial menu, and this gives me options of what to do. I can draw. I can tag. I can list. Okay. If I go down to this picture and click it, I get a new radial menu dot. I'll click on that. It doesn't give me as many options. I mean, it's not, again, the full ribbon or even as much as you find in the web app, but you get tags and copy. If I click inside of a table, I get a new one. So it's contextual to where you are and gives me a lot more options. I can fire up the camera. I can sort. So let's sort. And then when you see when you see an arrow, that means there's more options. So I just swipe through that, and I can sort A through Z, and I just did that. There's Z through A, there's A through Z, and I can click
That's
back.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it gives you options, and it gives you options when you are contextually there. So let's grab some text here. Of course, it's going to appear on my menu, and it gives me a new text tab here. So I have lots of different options here. I can go into font size. And I get this kind of cool speedometer radar menu. I'm going to try to get the glare off that there for you. And I can change this up to 17-point font, and it changes. Let me hit back. I can go up to color. Again, I can pick any color. Let's do green. Let's do Sounders green. Okay, and it changes it there. And it remembers a lot of things, so let me do bold. And it bolds there. Okay, now let me go down here and click this next piece of text. Go away. Okay. Now, it remembers things about what you last did. So if I just go back here, it's still on color and it's still on 17-point font. So I just, oops. This is not the right way to demo it. But it remembers color and things like that. But not only that, is check where everything out. Undo is always at the 9 o'clock position. Color in this one is at 12 o'clock. Bold is at 3 o'clock. That's important to remember. Let me grab down here this last bit of text. Go away. Okay, so it remembers where you were. So if I swipe even though the radial memory is not open, if I swipe this to the 10 o'clock side, it's going to change the font size. If I go swipe up, it will change the color.
So it remembers what you last did?
It remembers last did, but also it remembers what you did in those areas. So again, bolding is to the right. I'm going to click that. It bolds. Undo is always 9 o'clock. So if I just swipe left, I can undo everything here.
Okay. Kind of like the undo icon points to the left.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all in all the radial menus, it's that. So I just undid all of that stuff. So this is...
So you could be like a swashbuckling... Whoops. Touch user here with this thing.
I could be, and again, it's you know, I would use this normally with two thumbs like this, and now my back feels better because I'm not holding the weight for the camera. But again, you get used to the using the thumb switches. You can, of course, turn on the Windows 8. Come back here. You can turn on the Windows 8 keyboard when you're working on here. You can split that keyboard so you can just do thumbs if you want to, like that.
Okay.
And like anything else, if you've worked with a Surface, you've worked with tablets, you'll find out that you get your thumbs really quick. I mean, this is how you swipe through pages on a Windows 8 Touch device. Here are your charms. So just like you get used to that, you get used to these radial menus. It comes pretty natural after a while. And again, just kind of a slide to your left, and you can go through all your different notebooks. You can get to all your different pages, and even. Right there, which is this page that we'll work on that.
So the summary, I guess, of this Windows Store app for OneNote is that you don't have a bunch of UI in your way. It's optimized for this tablet. It's really meant for your fingers. There's nothing in the way of your content. You're just working right on your notes, not on menus and tabs and dialog boxes and task pane.
And again, the one thing I didn't show on that is you could augment these slides like I'm seeing here. You could do that much better with, I can even do it with fingers. I haven't even tried to do that. I'm not on the draw tab here. If I pick a pen.
Oh, there you go.
So this is just my finger.
On a Windows 8 PC.
On a Windows 8. Giant PC monitor, and let's even do ink to text to see if it changes that. Not perfect, but not bad.
What does it say?
It says 7 change this picture. But again, what I would do is I would leave that. Let me just undo it. I would leave that there because I don't need to have that into text. And of course, it's going to look a little clearer using the pen with the Surface Pro. Augmenting slides. So you can do it with fingers. I've done it on this touch screen. You can do it with everything else. Now, I have to fire up the screen again because I want to see if there's anything else to demo. As I do that, let's kind of show you the last page here, which is we're going to kind of wrap things up. But we have a resources. If you do download the notebook, we have this resources page for you. That has lots of links. Again, we cut and pasted this in using that Send to OneNote feature. So again, this you'll find the office support pages where Dave and I do most of our work, where you'll find in-depth training. Here's join us next week for the Office 15-minute webinar. We're doing one on simplifying Excel. You can go there to that link, aka.ms/offweb, or just if you have this notebook, click on it. Put in pages here for folks, the office pages for TechNet. TechReady is going on this week. TechNet is here. Always there, 24/7.
Right.
Office for Developers at MSDN. We put some in about OneNote. A lot of social. We have it on Facebook. We have Office Blog. That's where we break news, a lot of the things. As new features pop up. The pen feature in the web app. No, I'm sorry. The pen feature in Windows, the Windows Store app just came on a couple weeks ago. We broke that news here. The web app picked up things like password protection, which we haven't even shown. You find that in the OneNote blog. You'll find the OneNote and all the other Office blogs for the end users here at Office Blogs, blogs.office.com. Office training, which is we do a lot of things on, you'll find complete training for not only the current product, 2013, but also 2010, Office 2007.
And one thing about that, like if you're in the IT, in an IT pro department for a small to medium to large company, and you need training for your folks, go to office.com/training, and that'll give you all those resources there. It's free.
Free resources, absolutely. And one thing I need to show here is the quick start guides. Let me shrink this page down a little bit. So quick start guides are some of our most popular resources. We have them for all the new products. It's a 6-page guide you can either put in OneNote, print in OneNote. You can print out. You can just send to folks. So as you are deploying the new Office or the new Office programs, there are these for all the offices. Quick 6-7, I think it's 6 pages for each program. Mm-hmm. Some of our most popular guides. It goes through anything from what's changed from the new product to people who have never used OneNote before. So that is in this guide. Also, just a couple of things I wanted to make sure we mentioned. Michael Oldenburg, who is our partner, the OneNote writer at Office.com, has a book out, a current book for Office 2010. You can pre-order his OneNote 2013. That really helped us organize this 2-hour jumpstart for you. So I wanted to mention Michael's book there. And also, if you are trying to get those apps for your Android, iPhone, iPad,
whichever OS,
Surface, again, it will work on there. Go to OneNote.com, and you'll find the page at the bottom that has the links to all those devices for you and what's there. That's OneNote.com. And, of course, thanking for the Microsoft Virtual Academy. So we had a couple minutes, and again, I think we're I haven't had a chance to look through a lot of the question and answers. I was trying to see if Frank or someone on the line there wanted to show us what to demo. In fact, Nicole or Tom, and I should thank the folks on the line, Nicole, Tom, and John on the lines. If there's anything that you saw us to demo, if you can just leave me a quick message right now, we have a couple minutes to demo that. And of course, we'll keep on asking about OneNote on that. Can you download the training notebook? I did make that offered for there. I don't know where it is on the UI. Hopefully someone can jump on the this call. And I don't know if that's available now or you have to wait until we're recorded. So if someone could answer that question who works for MVA, that'd be really cool. Again, this notebook here is available along with all the little pages that we worked on here. And that's what the main questions are right now.
Okay.
And here's a good picture of me. Good. You see a picture of my bald head leaning over on my computer to see what I'm sure do. Self-assessment, I mean. Fantastic job. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate that. Unless, let's see here, there's anything else. Oh, one other page that we have in this resource guide is shortcuts. You can go to office.com and search for shortcuts, but we kind of... Mr. Shortcut,
yeah.
Dave Ludwig, asked for it by name, is put this page in of shortcuts worthy of IT pros. We also have the link to find more on
this. Why
don't
I just
notebook?
Show them the full one?
Sure.
2013. So
let's see if
I'm going to just
works too.
Do this here. Search Bing for keyboard shortcuts in OneNote 2013. And so this is, again, I found that by just typing OneNote 2013 shortcuts
mm-hmm.
in Bing. And click that first or second one there, and then you got all those shortcuts. This is one we didn't show. Open in a new OneNote window. If you need a second OneNote window open alongside another one to take notes, that's one keyboard trigger. There's tons more, okay? So take a look at this and tell us what you think. I think it's been a pretty handy resource for me, and there's always some new ones you could learn. Huh, Doug? You could learn a few.
I could learn a few,
yeah.
Yes. But I'm on my page, I'm at the keyboard shortcuts for 2010. I'm still catching up
because
I don't know all of them. But again, so lots of information on that. I think we'll probably stick on the UI for a bit and do it. I was just trying to find if there was a last-minute question here that we could demo. But I think looking at the time, we'll maybe
someone's asking about links. I could do a link.
Let's show that, or that wiki link thing too.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, so go over into Dave's, and we'll show a quick thing about linking that different ways to link in OneNote.
Okay, so for example, let's say we've got we want to link down here to this table here. Okay, we can copy link to paragraph, which is sort of like an anchor link. I think Mark had mentioned that there in the chat. Okay, we've copied that link, and then let's say we're at this page, and we can just paste that link. Okay, and then that link will take us to that particular place in the OneNote page. The other cool thing about links is, let's say you're taking some notes here, and you need to on the fly here link to something like this snapshot page over here. You just type double bracket snapshot. Okay, close those brackets, and it creates that link for you, and then that will jump to this page here. So there you go. Okay. Another quick tip is this back button. It's kind of like a browser back button, okay? You can click that and go back, okay? You can also, the shortcut for that is Alt left arrow, okay? Just like in the browser, all right? And then if you need to create a new page using sort of wiki link functionality, you can type a double bracket and then just a name of a new page. And then it gives you this special dashed underline here. And that made a new page for me at the bottom of the section. Okay, so I could click that link and then I could start typing my notes here. Okay, so that's all. It's just a quick little primer on WikiLink functionality.
In fact, in the notebook, I also put a page on each one that you can also link images and stuff like that by just right-clicking, and then you can link to a paragraph. So like this image here, if I hit the control button, links to the next section. So that's some of the linking. So again, linking works great with that. A lot more about OneNote. You can find out more at office.com. We have trainings for that. Maybe we'll be back talking about Word dissing OneNote at one point, but I doubt it.
The other direction, huh?
The other direction. But I think we'll wrap it up. So thanks for Nicole, Tom, and John that were on the line. Frank that was on the line. We're doing the chat. I don't know if the chat stays on or not, because we've never done this before. I was going to say Matt's not here.
All the folks at
Barry
MBA.
And Danny on back yes. of the line doing the handhold stuff. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And come back if you want to see us, one of us, you want to see us next week. We're at the Office 15-Minute Webinar. You can search for that and find it. We'll be on there next Tuesday. And somebody else will be in these seats talking about something really IT pro and dev. So keep on tuning in to the Microsoft Virtual Academy and have a great day. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.